1380 WAOK.
Smith Show. We call him our roving family reporter. And David Witt and David Royal. We're giving you an update on what's going on in Ferguson, which what you are not seeing on the news, at least nationally, maybe not even in Ferguson. Gentlemen, before the break, I ask why there was not a massive turnout. Did we in Ferguson not understand what we had the power to do, because you could have gotten rid of the sheriff, some judges, a whole lot of white folks in Ferguson who are racist would have been gone from the seats of power. Why didn't that happen?
Well, if I could just jump in real quick with that one, because, you know, this thing, reason why folks didn't go out to vote is actually layered. And the first one I'd like to point out is the fact that, you know, a lot of black folks, when you look at it, okay, a lot of people have, you know, records, maybe be small violations, you know, for traffic tickets and things of that nature, right? And when you look at all the places where you go to vote, okay, it's either at a police station or it's right near a police station and there are police there. Okay, so people a lot of times are in fear, you know, not because they probably don't understand, or just be in fear that they might wind up getting locked up when they go out to vote. Now, you might say it sounds crazy, but it's people actually like that they just, when they see the police, they will go the other way just because they are there, and they be like, oh, I got warrants, so I got traffic tickets, and they will not go. And so also you have to understand that people have lost respect for this system and changing things, and they just opted out, didn't want to participate. So both of these things, when you add both of those things together, you have low voter turnout. You know, you have registered voters that just don't want to get involved with it because they feel as though that their voice is not being heard anyway because the system is already monopolized. And then the other folks are just don't care nothing about the system because they just don't have the knowledge of the power that we have.
So, all right, I can understand that. But let me speak as the elder for just a moment. The fear is not new to African Americans where the vote is concerned. It's not new. Not only did you face the fear of the police, but your children disappeared. Your women were still raped. You probably lived in and around property that was owned by the racists in the town. You had to go to the bank. But still, through all of that, they in Montgomery, Alabama, and all over the South, really, they decided, because there's stories everywhere, all over the South, like the one I'm telling you. The help, the women, decided enough already. The NAACP, enough already. Sister Rosa Parks told me the story in her home. Now look, if they could do that then, when there were laws in certain parts of Alabama that didn't allow two black folks to be on the streets together, if they could do that, then wasn't it worth the risk? Because for every person that might have been not eligible, there were people that could have been found and registered in time, and there were people committed to do that, like Reverend Albert E. Love and the consortium of ministers from churches all around Atlanta doing this Sunday vote where they got you registered, And on the day that you were supposed to vote, they made arrangements for you to get there. Couldn't the folks in Ferguson have done the same thing and planned it that way? Okay, you disqualify one, we challenge you on that because now you have federal laws that you can challenge them on that. But in the meantime, you have another person that's qualified. Till there's no question. You just show up in numbers. Couldn't that have happened?
That definitely could have happened, but an integral piece that we're missing from that is education, you know, educating our people and our citizens. We did a whole lot of voter registration, but we didn't take the time to, you know, explain to everybody the reason why they should vote for this candidate or not vote for that candidate. So if I'm speaking from a young person's point of view, if I'm going to take the risk to go ahead and maybe get followed around or, you know, locked up, harassed by the police officers or whatever, I'm not going to do that if I don't have faith in the people that I'm voting for. So, you know, back in the original, you know, movements back around in the 50s and 60s and everything like that, it was very obvious that their votes would make a difference. So the legacy that y'all left for the younger people is that, you know, y'all came out and voted and y'all made a change back then, but then you kind of went by the wayside and you left everything the way that it is right now.
Hold that
right now,
right there.
You know, young people don't feel like their votes are being counted. It doesn't feel like that the government is working for us. It feels like we are slaves to the government.
Okay, but let me stop you right there. You keep talking about the government, and then you said, and you all kind of went by the wayside. Let me tell you something. The movement of the 50s and the 60s, and even in the 40s and the 30s, were started in communities. Community people started it. But in those days, we were committed to being black and committed to being free. We don't even sing songs of freedom anymore. We sing about the pregnant dog. That's what we call our women. We talk about pouring one on the ground. Liquid libation is an African trait. It's a ritual that you pray for the spirit of the one that's going away. And you enter in those spirits that are coming back in. But we don't have that commitment now. So let me tell you this. It wasn't the government, although we're the government. We just don't practice that. All of those people on Capitol Hill right now, we send them there. We pay their salary. We allow them to get a better insurance plan than we do. We got tired of that mess. They wouldn't have it. So that's what I'm saying to you. It is, you are to be commended. Because you are standing up, you are being counted. But what you need to be told is you are also carrying on the tradition. In Memphis, Tennessee, it was the young people from college that went into the restaurant, stood there. But they were paired with old folks in the movement who taught them how to resist, who made them practice.
Yes,
but look
ma'am.
What we had. We had SNCC. We had CORE. These were national. We had the NAACP, the SCLC, and we had the Urban League. It was on fire. We had preachers all over the country. Aretha Franklin's father. We had preachers. We had teachers. We had black people who had a different kind of a spirit and were uniting, forgetting all about the differences that we had. In other words, light folks were hanging out with dark folks. Can you feel me, brothers? We need to ask the question. And the question that I'm asking both of you young men, and first I'm telling you again how proud I am of you. I don't have to say it to Ollie because I tell him every time. I'm proud of you. It takes courage. But you're carrying on a tradition of fighting for your people. So the question has to be, you all have traveled, one of you in the military. You lived a lot of places. One of you in Washington, D.C. I lived there. I worked for WRC Radio during the day and our voices at BET at night, and I was there through a lot of stuff. But what happened when Southeast got in trouble? The folks on the Gold Coast and the Bronze Coast went to help them out. There was no mayor like Marion Barry. I don't care what they say. This man rallied the people together and got the vote out against all kinds of problems. This hatred is not new. What is a surprise is that we thought once we said integration, it would disappear, like Jeannie rubbing her nose. So answer me, young people. and I don't want to put this on your shoulders. I want you to generalize from the people that you're around. You've already proven that you care about being African in America. Do other young people care? That's number one. Do they care enough not to sit around and wait for anyone else, but to do it themselves, to educate themselves, to go to the library, to buy the tapes, to get to know, to go to the meetings, to get a membership in the NAACP, to work volunteer with the Urban League? You may have some that do. But across the board, in Ferguson, do they care? Who wants to answer first?
Hey, Royal.
Do they still hear me too?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Go ahead. We can hear you, but you have your radio on. And does somebody have a radio on listening to the radio in the background?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Me and David is in the same room talking on different phones.
Okay, so when the phone rings.
Okay.
Now, remember, folks are listening to you all from all across the country and with the internet outside of the country. So we're going to take a break. And when you come back, this is a serious question. Do young people care? Do they understand they're not free? Do they understand that just because they have that Rolex, that Louis Vuitton, that doesn't make them free? Do they care?
The smarter way to manage business expenses, presented by Concur.